Good evening. This is Patrick Donahue. Appreciate you listening every Sunday night at this time for Bible Crossfire. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 31, "If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." We all know it's important to be Jesus' disciple, and this verse says to truly be Jesus' disciple, we must continue in his word. We must do what he says. Have you ever noticed that the word disciple is just another form of the word discipline? On the subject of discipline, I want you to notice 1 Corinthians 9:27 from the English Standard Version. Here's the quote. Paul speaking, he says, "But I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified." So if we're going to be a disciple of Christ, we must discipline ourselves, else we will be disqualified from heaven. We must discipline ourselves. That means things that we might want to do, things that we're tempted to do, things that we may have a propensity for after listening to others and get into bad habits. We're going to have to control ourselves and not do these things that we might want to do. We're going to have to keep ourselves from getting in these bad habits if they violate God's word. And that's going to take discipline in many cases. Let me give you an example. If you're in the world a lot doing things at your work or wherever, people cuss. Sometimes when they cuss, it gets into our head and we might start cussing. We can't let that happen. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." No corrupt communication, no cussing whatsoever. That takes discipline. When you're in a world, out in the world, and people are cussing, telling dirty jokes, it takes discipline to abstain from that. That's what we've got to do. If we're going to be a disciple of Christ, notice the form of the word, it's going to take discipline on our part. Not doing things we might want to do. Not doing things we might be tempted to do. Not letting ourselves fall into bad habits that are contrary to the word of God. If you have a Bible question or comment, give us a call, 877-655-6755. How about drinking? We got to discipline ourselves not to drink. 1 Peter 4, verse 3 reads this way, "For the time that is past suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do, living in sensuality, passions, drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties, and lawless idolatry." So according to 1 Peter 4, verse 3, it's wrong to get drunk. It's wrong to participate in drinking parties. That, again, is from the English Standard Version. That may take discipline. Now, some people, myself included, aren't really tempted to drink. Maybe it's just the way I was brought up. But others are tempted to drink. I'm tempted by other sins, though I may not be tempted by this one. But many people are tempted to drink. Many people who claim to be Christians develop into alcoholics. It takes discipline to stay away from drinking, from drunkenness, from drinking parties. It takes discipline. We have to, as Paul said, buffet our bodies. Discipline. Paul said, "I discipline my body, keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified." He would lose his salvation if he didn't keep his body under control, if he didn't discipline his body. That's what we have to do. We have to keep our body and its sinful desire, its desires that can be satisfied unlawfully, unscripturally. Every desire we have can be satisfied scripturally, but we can satisfy other desires unscripturally. We've got to control ourselves, discipline ourselves so that we won't do that. Al from Maryland, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Look at Exodus 20, verse 18 in particular, and the last part of 18, when the Jews were speaking to Moses, And
right.
They said that, hold on, I'm reading the book real quick. Okay, the last sentence in particular, where they said to Moses, do not let God speak with us, lest we will die. And I was just wondering, why did they think they would die if God spoke to them after God had saved them from the Egyptians?
I think that's probably a reference to the fact that if someone saw God face to face, they would die. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Yes. So, I guess they felt that they were unclean and they couldn't stand before God. Is that correct assumption?
That could have been part of it, but I'm thinking more along the lines of seeing God face to face.
Gotcha.
I'm trying to look up that passage right now.
Okay.
I think I can find that in Exodus 33. Let's look at 11. Exodus 33:20. God speaking, he says, thou cannot see my face, for there shall no man see me and live.
Okay, but now, in this case, they would speak to them, because God had spoken to Moses, and he had that, but the people did not want, I guess, to have that relationship as close as it was with God as Moses.
You know, Al, I'm not sure of the answer. I'm going to have to say I don't know the answer unless it's the fact that if they saw him face to face, they would die. If that's not the answer, then I don't know the answer, Al.
I got you. Okay.
If that's not the answer, I mean, the verse itself, I'm talking about Exodus 20, verse 19, doesn't really tell us why they would die if God spoke to them, right?
Yes, it doesn't. I just wonder since they had experienced God saving them from Egypt and all the miracles and all the protection they provided for them, the point where they can meet their God, why would they feel that their God speaking to them would kill them? I was just curious.
Now, and they could have been wrong about that. It could have been that God could have spoken to them directly and they would not have died. And they might have felt, like you said, Al, they might have felt insecure, like they weren't good enough to speak to God.
Yeah.
But I really don't know the answer unless we find the answer in Exodus 33, verse 20. It says, if a man were to look upon God face to face, he would die. If that's not the answer, I don't know what it is, Al. It's a good question.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you for your call, Al.
Okay.
If you have a Bible question or comment, give us a call at 877-655-6755. We're talking about how that Paul said he disciplined his body and kept it under control, lest he should be disqualified. That's talking about being disqualified from heaven. So if we must discipline our body, we must keep it under control if we want to be saved in heaven. You can see that in the word disciple. We understand that we must be a disciple of Christ. It's really just a form of the same word, discipline. We've talked about avoiding cussing and drinking. What about smoking? Let me tell you how I would approach smoking. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12, Paul said, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. You see, when you get involved with something that's as addictive as nicotine, you're going to let that master you. You'll come under its control. Nicotine is supposed to be one of the most addictive drugs out there. And so people who smoke either are addicted or almost always end up addicted to the nicotine, and they can't quit. I think everybody's heard the funny expression, it's easy to quit smoking. I've done it 500 times. That expression, that little funny quip, shows us how hard it is to quit smoking. People want to quit smoking. I don't think I've ever met a person who smokes that didn't want to quit. But it was hard to quit. They couldn't do it. They were trying and they couldn't do it. You see, they've let something master them. They've come under control of something. And 1 Corinthians 6:12 says we shouldn't do that. Even if it's something that's lawful within itself, this verse says, I will not be mastered by anything. Don't let yourself get addicted to anything, whether it's alcohol. Even caffeine could come under this category if you let yourself become addicted to it and depend upon it. We're talking about nicotine and cigarettes. Any kind of drugs, don't let yourself become addicted or you violate 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12. It's a part of disciplining your body, our body, keeping it under control. A person who becomes addicted to something has let his desires, fleshly desires, get out of control. And he's going to be disqualified from heaven, according to 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27. How about pornography? You know, pornography is addictive. Matthew 5:28, whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. You know, I've read that there's a big problem among people who claim to be Christians, especially men. A lot of them have a problem with pornography. It's so easy to find pornography. It used to be you had to have a magazine, and a lot of people would know then that you're looking at pornography because it came in your mailbox, but now you can just do it on the internet. It's all over the internet. We all get ads about pornography trying to get us to look at things on the internet. We've got to discipline our body. We've got to keep our eyes under control so that we don't violate this passage, Matthew 5:28, looking on a woman to lust after her in our heart. When we look at pornography, we do that. We've got to discipline our body, keep it under control, and not look at pornography. It's easy to find, but we can't look at it. If you have a Bible question or comment, 877-655-6755. Now, what pornography usually leads to is fornication and or adultery, depending upon whether or not we're married or not. Fornication, 1 Corinthians 7, verse 2, says, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, let every woman have her own husband. And so, our body has a desire for the opposite sex. No doubt about it. That comes natural. There's a lawful way to satisfy that desire, and that's within marriage. Sexual relations, satisfying that desire outside of marriage, it's called fornication in the Bible, and it's condemned. 1 Corinthians 6:18 says, flee fornication. This is a matter of disciplining our body and keeping it under control. If we let our body get out of control, we just let our person do whatever our fleshly desires take us toward, that's letting our body get out of control. And we have a violation of these passages that condemn fornication. As I said, looking at pornography leads to fornication. They're two different sins, but one usually leads to the other. They're both wrong. Young people who are single especially have a problem with fornication. And many of the churches act like that it's okay as long as they're not married to have sexual relations with one another because they're not cheating on another person. But the Bible condemns fornication. The Bible teaches us that we should remain a virgin until we get married and be faithful to that one spouse till death do us part. Jack from Georgia, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
All right, appreciate it. Got a question, and I'm a little confused about divorce. I don't believe in divorce unless, you know, one spouse commits idolatry, and I know the Bible says that is grounds. It doesn't have to be the grounds for divorce, but my wife of well over 11 years packed up, left, didn't tell me, didn't know we were having problems, and just left and went to live with another woman in another state. Totally devastated me. And she doesn't communicate with me, won't talk to me. So can I get a divorce? Or I'm a little confused. I've had some pastors tell me, well, unless you can prove idolatry, you know, you don't have grounds for divorce. And then I've heard that, well, that's abandonment. And, you know, God doesn't want you to, you know, be married to that person that doesn't, you know. I thought she was saved. But then again, if you're saved and you have a heart, you know, a new heart, how could someone do something like that? So that's my question.
Yep. You said she went off to live with another woman. You don't mean in a lesbian relationship. You just mean as a roommate to save money, right?
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the answer to that question.
Jack, the pertinent verse on this is Jesus says in Matthew chapter 19, verse 9, "Whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery." Now, I think you kind of know what the word "except" means, Jack. If the Bible says, "Except ye be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God," wouldn't that teach that the only way you can be saved, see the kingdom of God, is if you're born again, right, Jack?
Right.
And that's John 3:3, which is what I try to quote. And so, "except" means this is the one and only reason that qualifies.
Right.
So Jesus says, if you divorce your spouse, except it be for fornication, and marry another, you commit adultery. Showing that's the only reason a person can remarry after divorcing the other. The second part of the verse, "Whoever marries her which is put away doth commit adultery." I assume your wife divorced you, Jack, is that true?
We are not divorced. I filed mm-hmm. for divorce. She hasn't answered. Like I said, just totally abandoned and haven't. I mean, that's all I know.
Did you say 11 years ago?
No, we were married for 11 years. It happened 3 months ago.
Okay, I'm sorry. I misunderstood you. Well, you filed for divorce. Or you're thinking, right? You filed for it, right? And she hadn't answered.
I filed to protect myself, you know, because I didn't know what was going on. Not that I was wanting, I wasn't wanting a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I know she's in another state, and I found out where she was at and had her served, but she hasn't answered the divorce papers.
Well, this says, "Whoever puts away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery." Matthew 19:9. Now, I know that sometimes is easier said than done, Jack, but that's pretty clear on what that's saying, isn't it?
Yeah. I agree with you, but I also, you know, would the Lord want someone, a spouse, to be in a marriage that, you know, she's getting beat on and you know, I've heard different things like that, mm-hmm. that, you know, a pastor said, well, you have to take the character of God into play here, and what do you think that would be? And so I'm a little, you know, just confused about the whole,
uh-huh.
you know, I understand about idolatry, but I also know in the Bible it says if one spouse leaves, let them go if it's a non-believer.
You know, it does say that in 1 Corinthians 7, verses 12 through 15, if one spouse leaves, let them go. But it never says that you can remarry. It says you can let them go, but it never says you can remarry in 1 Corinthians 7.
Right.
Now, let me ask you, you know, you mentioned about the preacher that says, what about the wife that's being beat?
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't apply to you, does it, Jack? You're not being beat, right?
No.
I was serious and joking at the same time. Joking, because that doesn't normally happen. The woman doesn't normally beat the man. But what I'm saying is, seriously, that doesn't apply to you. The Bible...
No. And it doesn't apply to her. I just wanted to make that straight, too. So
Yeah.
You know, I thought we had a loving Christian marriage, you know, of God. We always talked about God. I mean, I was saved. She was supposedly saved before we got married, and she talked about God and you know.
Jack, are you still there?
Yeah.
Let me read to you. Here's a verse I'd like to. It's another example of the word accept. It says, Jesus says in John 8:24, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. That's in the sense, except that you believe that I am he, ye shall die in your sins.
Uh-huh.
So do you see how it's saying that the only way to avoid dying your sins is if you believe in Christ? That's the force of the exception there. Do you see that?
Yeah, and I definitely believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I mean,
yeah.
I'm in the Word every day, and I listen to this channel all the time. So not just me, but, you know, several others. You know, I guess I do. So I'm locked into this marriage even though she left.
Yeah. Well, let me finish. I know that you believe in Christ. I'm just using that as an example of the word accept. Here's one, this sense of accept. John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And the word but there is used in the sense of accept. We all understand that to mean there's no other way to come unto the Father except by Christ. That's what the word accept means. It rules out all the other ways. So when Jesus says, except for fornication, that means that's the only scriptural cause for divorce. And if you remarry another, you're committing adultery. Now, here's what I would suggest, Jack.
I don't have proof that she's done that, so... You know,
I know. So
I think she has, but I don't know that.
How far away she lived from you? How far she lived from you?
1,100 miles.
Ah. Here's what I would do. I don't know what you mean by think, but I would hire a private investigator in that area to find out.
Yeah, I thought about that.
Yeah.
But I don't know how he would find out if they're in the act. I mean,
they can.
Do something. Yeah.
They can find out. That's what they're paid to do, and they can send you pictures.
Yeah.
Okay, so you'll know for sure.
That's a good idea.
And if she's doing that, then probably the thing you ought to do is divorce her for fornication.
All right.
And if she's not doing it, Jack, use the word stuck. I wouldn't use that word, but I'll use your word. Then you're stuck. Okay? If she's not. Because Jesus said it can only be for fornication. And Jack, the seriousness of this is that if you divorce her for a reason other than fornication, if you remarry, you're committing adultery with that second wife, according to this verse, Matthew 19:9. It says, if you put her away except for fornication, marry another, you commit adultery. Now, you know what adultery is, right?
Absolutely.
And so adultery is a sexual sin. That means that every time you sleep with that second wife, you're going to be committing a sin, adultery.
Well, so I don't even think you have to do that. If you lust, you know, the Bible says if you lust after another woman, you know, with your eyes, you're committing adultery.
Okay, but my point is that you would have to get out of that marriage because you couldn't continue in that marriage if you want to do what's right. I'm going to let you go, Jack. I got to get off the air in about a minute.
Okay, appreciate it.
Have a good day.
All right, you too.
Bringing up adulterous marriages is what Jack brought up, Matthew 19:9. We have to have the discipline, the control of our body, not to get into an adulterous marriage. If Jack's wife leaves him and she never commits fornication, he's got to have the discipline to stay separated because a second marriage would be adulterous. We appreciate you listening this evening to Bible Crossfire. Now, if you want to talk to me about the Bible, any Bible subject throughout the week, send me an email, BibleCrossfire@email.com. BibleCrossfire@email.com, and we can talk about any Bible subject for as long as we want over email. Send me an email, BibleCrossfire@email.com. Be sure and listen next week at this same time for Bible Crossfire.